If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to ParentCast, a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. So listen and relax, because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 10 of ParentCast.
Oh, my God. Double digits, baby.
I know. We're big time. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
And I'm going to guarantee this will be our best episode yet.
Oh, I love it.
Guaranteed, baby, because we got some good friends with us. We're going to talk about newborn etiquette.
Newborn etiquette. Well, who are our friends? Why don't you introduce them for us?
Eric, go ahead.
Hey, guys. My name is Eric, and how do I fit into this equation? Well, I've always liked to say that I am the will to Mary's grace, if anybody gets that reference. Mary and I have been best friends for about 14 years now. We went to college together. And I am the proud non-blood, but still uncle of little Reese Larson.
That's right. And how about you, Jay?
Hi there, everybody. My name is Jay and I'm Eric's boyfriend. I have gotten to know Mary and Blake so well through, my almost 5-year relationship with Eric, and it's been nothing but great. It's so exciting to, of course, have gotten to know them, but to also see little Reese Larson grow up and become such a great young little man. Seems like just yesterday I was holding him in the hospital, being fearful that I was going to drop him, and it was I was going to be the reason that I'd be extricated from this friend group, but not the case. I love him. He's fantastic. This is really they're really my first friends that brought a baby into their lives, and it's been an exciting. It's been a really exciting time. So I'm glad to be here.
Well, we are glad to have you. And, you know, it's funny, like, we've gone through this, of course, being new parents, and we've had a couple of friends who had kids before us, but it wasn't really, like, the same time. It was maybe a year or even 2 years before we did. So we kind of went through this newborn parenthood thing a little bit alone, and it was nice to have friends with us. But today's topic is actually going to be about what not to say of parents who have newborns. So it's going to be a fun topic to talk to you two who don't necessarily have a newborn, and you know, you had to walk that tightrope about what do we say, what's proper, what's not proper.
Exactly. What do you do? Like, how do you approach it? How do you not approach it?
You're clueless. You're absolutely clueless because you're so afraid of hurting someone's feelings. You're afraid of being that friend that said the wrong thing at the wrong time. And like Jay said, being excommunicated from the group or being the one that walks out the door, and then you look at each other and say, did he really just say that to us?
Oh, my God. I can't believe he just said that.
But we want to be there. It's so exciting. Yeah. It's exciting for us getting to see the process and to see two people that are just so in love and loving their new baby and wanting to be there and help.
But Jay, before we get started, I just want to say you have, like, the greatest radio voice I've ever heard in my life. Like, I thought I had a good radio voice, and, like, you totally smoke me.
Like, well, maybe I practiced. Like, I practiced in my room just by myself.
Be like, hello, this is Jay.
I know.
And I have the greatest radio voice.
You guys have a great singing voice, Jay. Like, if I was your music teacher right now and I was listening.
I wish I did.
Oh, my God.
Legitimately, I cannot. This is the lowest I can possibly get.
Jay is actually in the running to be cast as Darth Vader in the new Star Wars reboot.
Like, what are we talking about here, dude? Seriously.
I don't know.
We're just talking about how excited we are to talk. But before we get into this topic, gentlemen, we do have something that we need to talk about, and that is the judgment-free zone.
Boom.
All right, since we have our guests on today, Eric has volunteered as tribute to do the judgment-free zone
story. May the odds
today
ever be in your favor.
Oh, my God. But your hair is much more tame than Effie's would be.
Oh, thank you. Yes, this messy bun.
So my judgment-free moment, you know, we were one of the few people that were going that do not have children ourselves. We have a cat. You might hear us refer to him
Lord
a little
Grantham
bit.
Crazy cat people.
So we get to the house, and we knew it was going to be about 20, 30 people, family, friends. I knew it was going to be a lot of Mary's friends that are moms, that are part of your mom's group and your music class and things of the sort. And so this place is like a second home to me. So I just walk in. I don't even knock. I come in. I use the bathroom when I need to. I grab whatever I want out of the fridge. Same thing with you guys in my house. It's just like that. And for the first time I walked in here, I was very uncomfortable and overwhelmed. There was so much child stuff happening. there was a lot of family and moms and babies playing on the floor.
There were at least 10 babies here.
And that's probably the most amount of people under the age of two I've ever been around in my life at one point. And so I just remember a distinct moment where I was getting some pizza, and there was a couple of other friends here that also were single or just don't have children themselves. And we all looked at each other, and we all had the same look of fear on our face of where are we?
The Twilight Zone. That's where you were.
I need to get out of here immediately.
We've entered the ninth gate of hell.
and that wasn't to say I didn't want to be here for Reese's birthday, but it was just a moment where I was thinking, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. And I don't want to literally step on a child running over me. So in your living room, a gaggle of us five guys just sat in there and just started watching. I think it was the Terminator, or it was a movie.
It was Batman.
It was Michael Dark Knight.
It's Michael Keaton Batman.
Kim Basinger. Whatever happened to her?
Batman Returns.
So anyway, we just needed to escape a lot of the children, and it was a moment where we were saying, you know what, this is not necessarily our comfort zone, but we're going to go with it, and actually turned out to be totally okay. So that was my please don't judge me moment.
And today's topic, as we said, is talking about possible things that you should not be saying to parents who have a newborn. And actually, we kind of found this list through one of my favorite blogs. It's a blog called Lunchbox Dad. And so that was the title of his post. And it actually got featured on Huffington Post Parents, which is a huge deal for bloggers. Sure. And that's one of the ways that I found out about him. But those of you who don't know him, just Google Lunchbox Dad, and you are going to be completely inspired by his lunchboxes that he does. So needless to say, there's a 9-question list, and instead of just saying that these are things that we shouldn't say, Blake and I thought it'd be fun if we did an agree or disagree if you think that this question is inappropriate or not, and why. So I think we should get started. What do you think, Blake?
I totally agree. Let's get right into it.
Let's do it.
Number one, agree or disagree? Are you getting much sleep? Mary, start off.
I absolutely hate when this question is asked of me. I have blogged about it probably 3 or 4 times. I've written that if people ask me this question, it's because they are not my friend. Because if they know me, then they know that I honestly complain about not having sleep a million times a week. It's difficult, I think. And I think people who don't have kids ask parents this because they think that, oh, maybe it was just Mary's kid who was a little messed up. Maybe other babies sleep. And the truth is that newborns don't sleep. So especially if this is for newborns, no, do not ask this question. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. The answer is going to be no, and you're probably just going to make someone very upset. How about you, Jay? Have you ever asked somebody this? Or what
you know,
your
it's
thoughts?
Funny. A colleague of mine at work recently had a baby, and I was just having the flashback to when I asked him this very question, and I'm trying to think of what my mindset was when I asked, and I think that in my mind, I thought it would be okay to ask, mostly because I sort of know what the answer is already, but you know, it's somebody that I don't interact with on a super regular basis. I don't know his, you know, details and what his schedule is usually like and so forth. So in terms of having something easy to talk about and a question that I feel is personal, sort of like, how are you doing? Like, are you getting much sleep? Are you able to take care of yourself during this incredibly crazy time, busy time? So I totally, as somebody who does not have a child and hadn't gone through this before, Mary and Blake being my only real friends that had a baby, and I certainly knew from their experiences that it was many a sleepless night involved, I thought it was a question that would be okay because it's looking at the person as a sort of in a well-being perspective.
How about you, Eric?
So I feel like, Mary, anytime I've ever asked you this question, I don't feel like I've ever said, are you getting much sleep? I think I've said, how many hours of sleep did you get last night? It's almost a way of saying, I know you're not really sleeping. it's a conversation starter. I'm just trying to get a sense of context of what your life is like right now. Because if I say that, you might come back and be like, oh my God, I slept 6 hours last night and it was great. And, or if you say, oh, I only got 2 hours, it's just a way for me to help you commiserate and just deal with it and just kind of walk through it. So I feel like I've approached it a little bit differently before, but I guess I never realized how adamant some people felt about not asking that question as well. So I kind of fall in the middle on it. I think if you ask it the right way, it might not go over so poorly.
In the right way with the right intentions.
Yeah.
You know, it's really funny because being a parent who had sleep problems and we had to do multiple sleep trainings, it was a sensitive question to me. It was like asking a dyslexic person, hey, you want to spell something? No, that's a weakness of mine. But I do know that there's other parents who love to shout from the mountaintops, oh, my baby slept through the night on the third day.
I hate those parents. I'm sorry. I know this podcast is judgment free, but you know what? Take a hike.
They're
right?
Liars.
I know. Seriously, you're lying.
They're not. Define that. There are some babies that really do. They're miraculous and they just love sleep.
Ugh.
But
I hate those kids too. I'm gonna go out there. I know this whole podcast is judgment free, but I'm judging right now. I hate you and I hate your kids.
Well, Blake, how do you feel when people ask you this question now, or even when you had the newborn? If someone were to ask you, are you getting much sleep? How would you feel?
You know what? That's one of those things you don't talk about. You don't talk about it. You don't reference it, because if like you're one of those people that have the sleep and everything,
it's great. Like Fight Club, right?
Yeah. You know, the first rule of parenting is you don't talk about sleep. That's the first rule. You don't talk about Fight Club. You don't talk about sleep.
I'm taking furious notes.
I know. Yeah. Don't go to someone's house and be like, hey, are you sleeping? All I want to do is punch you in the face.
That's right.
Immediately.
We didn't want to punch you too. So don't you worry. Okay. We loved you too.
No,
it's funny. It's funny. Throughout the course of only the few minutes of this podcast, I'm sitting here saying, I'm not going to be friends with them after this. Everything we're going through, I'm realizing I've done every one of these things so far.
You know, I think it's a different thing. Just taking a side note, you guys are very close with us. So for you to ask us, you knew we were going through sleep problems and honestly have for an entire year. It's the people who are like associate friends or kind of like Facebook friends.
Or like
those
outskirt,
favorite.
Like family members.
Yeah. Yes.
Like don't talk to me about sleep, dude. Like we all know that I ain't sleeping for nothing.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like every time I've asked you, it's not been, are you getting any sleep? It's more like, how's the sleep
going? Exactly. So
like
that's it.
Like, I know it really, really stinks. And so just tell me how it's going.
Yeah, I think that's it. If you're like really good friends, you can fudge that rule. Question number two. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you. Blake, how do you feel about that question when people ask you that?
I'm already going through a crazy time in my life. I got things going on. I'm going crazy. I got my kid that's like breathing, and every sound he makes is a sure sign of death. And I got my wife who's sitting over there, and she's like trying to breastfeed, and she's going, and she's just making sure that her kid stays alive. You know what? Come to me with answers. Don't come to me with questions. Hey, I'm gonna bring you some. I'm gonna bring you some chicken parmesan. Yes, thank you. And you know, I do appreciate the question. I do appreciate the thought. But come to me with answers. Don't come to me with questions. I don't want to waste my time thinking about what do I need. Oh my God, I need. Chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream from Ben and Jerry's. That's what I need right now. You know what? I don't want to take that time. Just bring me something that you think I'd like, and I'll appreciate it no matter what. Mary, what do you got?
I completely disagree with this question. I loved when people could ask me, what can I do for you? Because I had a laundry list of things in my head, literally including laundry and dishwashers and things that only I knew. So if someone came and said, hey, is there anything I can do? And I could say, yeah, actually my dishes need undoing and need to be put away. And after that, I would really like to take a shower. So I kind of had like a to-do list in my head because I knew people were going to come and ask me, is there anything I can do? And I don't have a problem at all saying, why, yes, you can. And thank you very much. So maybe that's different. I knew what I needed help with. How about you guys? Did either of you
agree or disagree?
I'm with Mary on this one a little bit. I feel like this is a situation where I, as someone who doesn't have kids, honest to God, have no idea what it is that someone needs from day to day unless I'm seeing it firsthand with my own two eyes. So when I've ever said, let me know what I can do, or let me know if there's anything I can do, I genuinely mean it. From if you're thinking, God, I would love it if I could have like 10 minutes to go to the bathroom and someone could watch my kid for me, I'll call them because they said that. Now, knowing that, it's probably better to go and specifically say, if you need me to do laundry, tell me. Or I think some of the best advice I ever got was from somebody that I used to work with, and she said, don't ask, just do in the beginning when you first come over to visit. So if you come over to visit and you happen to notice that the dishwasher, the clean cycle is done, just empty it without even doing it. And the first time I feel like I did that, I felt a little weird at times. And I would come down and I knew that there was like a basket of laundry. I'm thinking, I'm just going to do this. And it might feel weird at first, but then you just kind of get into a groove of it. But I really think when people are saying it, they're that don't have kids, they're really just saying it because they really want to help. They just don't know what they can do.
That's right. And I think it really does. You do have to have in the back of your mind, if you're the one asking that question, you have to have a barometer of what your friends are like. You know, if you're asking somebody that is more outgoing, willing to share those types of things, then definitely be prepared for someone to answer it. Hopefully, there is not the situation that you're just putting that out there, hoping that they don't answer it because you don't want to be helpful and you're just trying to say that to put yourself out there. I think that sometimes that is the case, but in sort of an inner circle like this, we really are interested in helping and want to see what we can do. So it is sort of 50-50 for me because I do think about sort of what I'm like at work and what I go to my boss with a series of questions and just sort of, especially if there are issues, she would prefer that I go to her with a series of potential solutions. You know, come in, you know, they're probably hungry. Let's, you know, bake a lasagna or let's bring over some fresh fruit, things that you know can be helpful that wouldn't go to waste and maybe isn't the exact same thing, the exact thing that they needed at that moment. But nevertheless, it's helpful, opens up an inroad for potential help in the future.
Number three, how's your wife doing?
Oh.
All right, let me answer this one first, okay? You just pushed a freaking watermelon out of a grape-sized hole.
It was actually the size of a bagel at that point, but continue.
Oh, these are awesome visuals, by the way.
Whatever, I know. Of course you're hurting. Of course you got problems. I don't even want to know the issues. I don't want to ask about them.
You can read them on my blog.
Can I ask a question?
Go right ahead.
Did people really ask you this? Because personally, I would never think to ask.
I have
anyone
been asked this question. How's Mary doing? And I want to sit there.
Well, it's kind of obvious.
Again, I want to punch them in the face.
That's right.
Like literally, I want to sit there and pummel them into a little pulp because my wife is hurting and she's got problems. She's got issues. She's got hemorrhoids. She's got like she's peeing her pants when she doesn't even want to. My wife right now, okay, I'm sorry, sucks.
Now, but do you also think that that's a result of people, again, who have never gone through this before, really don't know what it's like for the mother, like a couple weeks after?
They got no idea. Yeah. You know what? Thank you for the question. Thank you for asking me. Thank you for being caring. Thank you for actually taking the time and saying to yourself, I should actually ask how Mary's doing. But you know what? I want nothing to do with that question. I don't want to talk about it. My wife sucks right now. And I can't make it any better for her. So you're asking me makes my world worse. I don't know. Jay, what do you think?
That's tough, you know, and I think that some people just don't know what to ask, and then that's what they end up coming out with.
So it's like a default question.
Right, exactly. But I sort of hope that it's secondary to them asking how you're doing, you know, taking into account that bringing a baby into the family has also been a major strain on you. Mm-hmm. So I'm sort of hoping that if it's a one-on-one conversation with you and somebody else that they've gone through, you've been able to share what the trials and tribulations of the process have been for you. Mm-hmm. And then they're asking about Mary because that seems like a next logical subject versus Mary, the mother, being sort of the only sort of contributor to this. You know, the father certainly goes through a lot as well.
Eric, agree or disagree?
Generally, I agree with this statement. You know, I agree. I think I said my piece. I don't think you did, though. Do you want to give us another rundown?
No, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going.
I don't know if I officially said if I agree or disagree. I think it's like a 50-50. Like, I think it's a sort of okay thing to ask, but not necessarily.
I completely agree with this question unless you're a good friend. So if you're a good friend and you've probably checked in with me already and you're actually like a good friend of both the husband and the wife and you know, oh, her labor was long or she's peeing herself or wow, she has to go have her hemorrhoids removed. Like, yes, you know how I've been doing. So feel free to ask. If you're a casual friend or just a friend of the partner, my opinion is don't really ask. Just say, I hope she's doing well. How are you guys doing? How is the family doing? A more blanket statement, because you're right. You don't know the specifics, and the partner is very protective at that time. And most likely, like, no matter what, birth isn't easy. No matter what, no matter what kind of birth you have, it's difficult. And as many moms out there who say it was the most amazing experience of their life, either that was difficult or the afterbirth and the stuff that they have to deal with was difficult. So just ask, how's the family doing, and kind of leave it at that if you're an associative friend.
Because they may not be ready to hear all of that information, and then it's uncomfortable for the partner to end up saying, sure, oh, she's just fine.
Yeah.
She's not just
like,
fine.
No, I don't want Blake's coworkers knowing at that point. I mean, now everyone knows that I had hemorrhoids. Yeah. And I was literally wearing adult diapers. Like, he can either sit there and lie and say, yeah, she's great, when really I'm sitting at home sobbing, eating a whole package of Oreos because I'm peeing myself without even trying.
Yeah, well, it puts the husband in an awkward position.
That's right.
You sit there and you sit, you gotta lie.
And because, like, you know that she's at home peeing herself on the couch.
Eating Oreos, you know? And like, and
tired, and you're tired.
Yeah, and you want to sit there and lie about it and make yourself feel like, okay, this is Stepford Wives, everything is perfect. Or do you really want to give them the real answer? And you sit there and you say, I don't know what to do. So this is why I say, don't ask the question. My wife sucks right now. It's okay. You know, let's the truth have its day. My wife sucks.
So many other things could be asked, for sure.
I know.
All right, moving on to question number 4. Is the baby sleeping through the night? let me start off with one of you gentlemen.
Yeah.
Do you want to pipe in? Have any of you asked this, and how do you feel about it?
This is one of those questions that I was thinking about it. I feel it's the equivalent to when someone just passes away, or you're at a funeral and you say, I'm so sorry for your loss, they're in a better place, like those catchphrases that everyone hates to hear. I think this is the equivalent to when a baby first comes out, because again, you're paralyzed with, I don't know what to say. This just might be a good conversation starter. But in general, you got to be a moron if you actually think the kid is sleeping through the night right now.
I think it's a good opportunity for sort of a teachable moment. I guarantee you, I asked, is the baby sleeping through the night yet? And it's fine for you to look at me and say, no, ding dong, that happens at year 1.5.
It's like the more you know logo, right? Flashes
exactly
across the screen.
The more you know, babies don't sleep through the night until they can practically make sentences. So in terms of somebody asking that, they're once again probably coming from a good place. But it can really be that teachable moment. And now, for sure, I know that I ask more pointed questions if I'm speaking with somebody. You know, what is the schedule like? What are you doing to, you know, cope with these different schedules, those types of things?
Jay, I'm glad that you have learned to ask those questions, because I completely disagree with this entire statement. The baby is not sleeping through the night. The baby will not sleep through the night, at least for the next 6 weeks in its life. Okay, and that's if you are like, you've hit Fort Knox. I just hit Publisher's Clearinghouse. My kid's sleeping through the night. It is phenomenal in my house. And then you have a kid like mine, who doesn't sleep through the night for an entire year.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
People have continually asked me this question, and as I said, if you're a friend of mine, or even if you read my blog, you know that the baby does not sleep.
Do you think? Let me ask you this question. Do you think that it's because people now know that Reese just does not sleep at all, so they're genuinely asking you, is he finally at the point where he's sleeping through the night?
I think that's a legitimate question.
Do you feel like it's mixed now, or do you still have a lot of dumb people asking you this question?
Now it's mixed. You know, right in the beginning when he was a newborn, the truth is that newborns really don't sleep, and they're not supposed to. They're supposed to wake up
every two or three hours
and eat. So when people ask me this, if they were dumb enough to ask me this question without having, genuine concern, if it was, as you said, kind of this fluff question, I would look at them and smile and say, he sleeps like a baby, and kind of give them this sarcastic little smile like, are you serious? You just asked me that. What the heck do you think he sleeps like? You don't know anything.
And that's the interesting thing, is that sometimes I feel like there are people out there, and I always err on the side of they're uneducated about the process like myself, but I see out there sometimes these moms that are just – their baby is the perfect example, and, you know, well, if only you had parented like this, he would surely sleep through the night, and, oh, yours isn't, so let me offer up these 75 examples of what I did to fix that. And it's just unbelievable as an outsider seeing how some people will just insert themselves into some very private situations.
Sure, yeah.
Such as parents.
A very poignant remark there, because a lot of people will sit there and say, well, you know what, Mary? I did this. And because I did this, my kid is perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a fine line between trying to empathize or sympathize with a person versus forcing advice or suggestion on them.
Sleep is seriously, I think it's like the most touchy subject, unless your child honestly has like a physical or emotional ailment. Aside from that, the majority sleep is the big touchy subject. So I agree with you. And a lot of people do ask me this because we've dealt with it over time. And I think that it's either A, they genuinely are concerned as a friend because they know that it's now affecting my physical and emotional well-being, or B, they're just hoping that if they have a baby one day, their baby may sleep, and they're hoping that I'm going to give them a good answer. So
doubtful.
That is my response to it.
Number five, and I know this is going to be hit home with you guys.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Not a clue.
I just got a puppy, or insert cat. So now I know what it's like having a baby.
So I disagree with this. Like, you're not, I mean, I'm sorry.
All right.
No, I agree with this statement. You should never say this to a person. So I'm agreeing with what Lunchbox Dad is actually saying here, because the way the statement is worded, I got a puppy or a cat, so I know what it's like to have a baby. You really don't know, because I can't even tell you how many times we have either complained of, oh, the cat coughed up a hairball. Oh, I got to get home to feed him. We've said, this is why we have a cat, because we could not be doing this 24/7 because it's way too much responsibility for us to handle.
I'm pretty sure my exact statement was, I think I maybe now understand 1/1000th of what it's like to be a parent. I am stressed out about what kind of food he's supposed to eat. Is there BPA in the can? And is there carrageenan as an ingredient, because that leads to liver failure in cats? And I'm just like, how much more stressful could it be when you're trying to keep a human alive when there are so many other factors? I get so nervous.
A classic example of this is a few weeks ago, last month actually, we had to put our cat, you know, under anesthesia, and he had to get 12 teeth taken out. For all you listeners, they actually have 30, so he still has more than half his teeth left. I have a lot of people have said, does he have any teeth left? Yes, he does. And I was I'm very unhealthily attached to our pet.
I remember getting the text from you.
I called Mary at 7 o'clock in the morning after I dropped him off at the vet, and I was hysterical crying. She took me out for a walk during that day, and I got the phone call from the vet mid-afternoon saying he's okay, he's out of anesthesia, and I broke down the middle of the street. And my words to both of you were, thank God I do not have a human baby, because I would have been committed to the mental hospital now, because I'm doing this over just a little animal. So I think what people say when people say this, I think what they're trying to say is, I love something else that I'm responsible for, that I have to feed, and that if I wasn't around would probably die as well. But trust me, no person in their right mind should be saying this very literally, because the cat doesn't wake us up in the middle of the night and I don't have to, you know, whip out my boob to feed him. You know, it's not
I'd
the
hope
same
not.
Thing. it's just not the same thing.
It's
I think
not
you hit
the
nail
thing.
On the head. It's like you two have been very careful about saying, oh, now we have a glimpse, or now we know what it's somewhat like, or oh my gosh, it's been so emotional for us and he's just our cat. We can only imagine what it's like when
That's
your
right.
baby gets sick. Mm-hmm. I definitely have had some friends who do not have children yet, who have commented that having their dog or whatever animal is just like having a baby. We went through 7 long months of colic, and I'm going to be like, you put your dog in a cage when you would go to work. You would squirt him with water. Like, you can't do that.
No. Yeah. Well, you know, again, like we say this all the time. We were on our cruise a few months ago, and we have said to each other, wow, could you imagine? We wouldn't be able to just drop our stuff and just go on a cruise if we had an actual child. Like, that's what the cat is good for. You can leave him alone the entire time. So we know that it is completely, completely different.
Do you want to know what the funny thing about this statement is? I honestly kind of agree with it.
You agree that it should not be asked, or
no,
that
no,
it
no.
can be asked?
Well, no, no, no. I'm not sure if I agree with it being like you going to newborn parents and saying, oh my God,
I have a cat.
We're in the same predicament.
Oh my God, let's be besties. We're doing the same thing.
I know. I actually kind of agree with the emotional side behind it, because I don't have a cat. I don't have a dog. I have a kid. But I respect the fact that you love your cat the same exact way, or close to the same exact way, that I love my kid. I will do anything for my child.
Sure.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's that there is a living creature that you are responsible for keeping alive.
Sure. That's
if right. you think of it in just those basic terms like that.
Yeah. You're providing food.
That's where that emotion comes from.
Now, should you tell that to a newborn mother who just popped out a watermelon out of her grape or bagel-sized hole?
Nope.
No, you probably shouldn't say that. But internally, if you talk about that later on, or it, you say that to yourself, to try to relate to that person in whatever way, I think that's a pretty good baseline. I'm not going to lie. Because you sit there and you say, God, I love my cat so much. I'm going to cry myself to sleep when he has to get 12 teeth taken out.
I did.
I know. And you know what? and as much as I might have laughed when you told me about that, and you're like, yeah. Oh my God, my cat, da 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 da. I want to sit there and say, Derek, you mother, like, you got no idea. But you know what? It's kind of the same. It kind of is. So I
with caveats, for sure.
A little bit, but I really I agree with it.
It's a different kind of love.
Relatively.
You know?
It's love, different, but it's definitely love, no matter what.
Just furry. I love this next question. It is question number 6. Okay, how do you feel about this? Quote, before the quote comes. It's usually said by a stranger in a store. For me, it's generally Target or the supermarket. So when your baby's screaming and you're just trying to make it through the list and keep up with your sanity, you finally get asked by some random person, quote, you know your baby's probably tired, hungry, or has a dirty diaper, right?
No kidding.
End quote. Yeah. So people will literally come up to new parents and say, oh, your baby's crying a lot. It sounds like you should feed him.
Has this happened to you?
I cannot even count how many times this has happened to me.
Are you seriously?
I swear to God.
Complete strangers have walked up and said this to you.
Absolute complete strangers, generally of the older variety. But yeah, it's either a little bit older mom, so people who are probably like 50 plus, or then straight up senior citizens come up to me and feel like they have the elder wisdom to come up and let me know, ooh, you know, that cry sounds like he has a dirty diaper. Oh, that cry sounds like he needs to eat. So you know what I've done? Because as a new parent, you get really frustrated with this. You don't know my kid. You don't know that he actually has colic and he just screams all the time and I need to go out and get some food right now. So I'll look at them and I'll say, actually, no, he's not tired. I just fed him. Oh, well, it sounds like he still is. And I did this once. I was at T's restaurant in Cranston and there were two little bitties sitting next to me and they said, your son's a terror. He sounds hungry. And I said, I just fed him, but I'll try again. And I whipped out my right boob. Right in front of them.
Cue the applause. It's
Thank
unbelievable.
You. I was
you know what? Hey, no, Mary, give me applause right now. Give it to me. Give it to me.
Thank you for all that applause, everybody.
I know.
Anytime.
I know.
You deserve it.
That was good stuff. No. Just because you think you're a mother and you've gone through this and you sit there and you be all judgmental and you look at me through your ivory tower, I don't want to hear nothing about it, really, because you don't know my kid. You don't know what the day has gone through.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear anything about it.
My question is, I do feel bad and I can sometimes see frustration and I can just see the exasperation in these parents' faces. Do you have advice? What should somebody, myself in a grocery store and I see them going through that, do I just mind my own business? Do I just walk away? Is there anything I can say or do that would make you feel better in that moment where you just want to vaporize out of that store?
I would look at them and say, I just want you to know, I know it's a really tough job, but you're doing a great job. Because
okay.
That's it.
That's
like, if the baby is crying and they're in the store, the parent does not want to be there.
Of course.
The baby probably is fed. Or if not, the mom's just trying to get through the grocery list. Or if the baby does have a dirty diaper, she's trying to buy those groceries so she can go straight to the changing room. So if you feel so inclined, just look at that parent and say, hey, you're doing a really great job. Don't worry about everybody else. Because they probably have been talked to a couple of times already in the aisles.
That's great to know. Maybe I'll throw in that I have a cat, so I know what they're... I know what they're going through.
How about you, Eric? How do you feel about that question?
Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that you should. I'm more of a person that you should just mind your own business. You know, we've all seen that parent in the store, in the restaurant, or wherever before, and you can tell that they're mortified to be there because the kid is screaming or that there's something wrong and that you know that they just want to get out of there. And it just shouldn't be up to you to go and just add more judgment because you know they're already feeling bad. You know that they're very self-aware. You know that the baby is screaming in the middle of a public place and they just want to get through it. And you just mind your own business and just kind of acknowledge that, you know, it's a tough job. And they're
just doing
the best that they can. It's a kid. Kids cry.
And like the kid can't help it. He's just doing what he's naturally inclined to do.
Kids scream. And that's actually something that, since Reese came along, that's something that we have actually become more tolerant of. I remember us being in restaurants or in stores or something.
And definitely judging.
Definitely. Before,
why aren't they getting out of here? Yeah, what's going on?
That parent doesn't know how to discipline. Why aren't they taking them out of here? All those things have crossed through our minds and through our voices before. And then when you have a kid and new parents right around you, you're saying, okay, that's actually not something that they can even control.
Number 7. When are you going to bring the baby over?
Blake, I don't think you have anything to say about this, do you?
All right. I just want to say this. If you ask me this question, I want you to die...
As a newborn parent.
I want you to die a fiery death in hell.
Oh, my God.
I think you
serious.
Need to clarify a bit more as to how you
feel. No. Legitimately, if you want to see my kid, come to my house. There's no reason for you or my kid or me to ever leave my house when he's a newborn. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to talk about it. Don't ask me this question.
This has got to be such an inconvenience for you as new parents, because you already probably have not removed the sweatpants that you've been wearing for 2 weeks at this point. Mm-hmm. You've barely been able to take a shower. And who wants to go out feeling looking like that? And also, I would imagine that in the first couple of weeks, you're still probably getting used to the idea of maybe putting him in a car seat or making him be around other people. Like, that's got to be pretty scary. And you just might not be ready for that yet.
And that's something that I learned in this process. I had no idea that it was such an issue. I was just, once again, going back to the fact that I was not educated, not gone through this process, had not seen many other people close to me go through this process. I didn't realize that they had to eat every 2 hours or, you know, whatever the case may be. And that, you know, if you're going to breastfeed, that you need to pack this. And then, of course, how many diapers they go through. That was an eye opener for me. You need to bring those along with you. And then there's the changing incidents, and then there's the wipes, and then there's this and that. I had no idea. And I'm certain that I probably at least knew that it wasn't easy to move babies around. I don't think I asked this question, but it does seem rather absurd to ask this given the complexities.
Wait to be invited over. Wait to be told when's a good time to come over.
Sure.
Tell them, you know, tell the parents, just let us know when we can come over. We'd love to see your kid, but you have to wait for them to give you the green light to come over. And the other things I learned is keep your visit short. Mm-hmm. 30 to 45 minutes is totally fine. You're going to want to stay over there longer. But I even started noticing from Mary that there were cues of she's getting tired. She's getting cranky. She might want to be alone. She's probably got to feed him. Blake's got to tend to some stuff. You just got to take those cues in just little bits of time, because there's a whole lifetime you're going to be able to spend with that kid. So.
And not be offended when the visit has been cut short, for sure.
That's,
you know,
true.
Because there are these important things that are best done in privacy. Everybody's tired. It has nothing to do with you. This is not about you. This is about the family. This is about the baby. And really just be mindful of how you can support them. You're their friend, and how can you do that best?
Mary, I think I know your answer. Agree or disagree?
Oh, I completely agree with the fact that you should not ask this question. I think, Jay, you just hit the nail on the head. This is not about you. This is not your baby. This is the mom's or dad or whoever's baby, but it's not yours. So it doesn't need to come over your house. It can come over your house when the parents are ready for the baby to come over. So don't ask this question, period. Question number 8.
Ugh.
This is the question, aside from, like, how's the baby sleeping? And, oh, I think your baby needs to eat. This is the third most question that I get asked all the time. And it's, when am I going to have my next baby? You want to know what I want to say? I should just ask them a completely inappropriate question, like, oh, when did you get your first period? Or how often do you pick your nose? Like, so inappropriate. Questions like this always make me mad. For example, when you get engaged, the first thing people ask you is, when's your wedding? As soon as you get married, when are you having a kid? As soon as you have your first kid, when are you having your second kid? And it's like, let me enjoy the present moment. Let me enjoy my firstborn or secondborn or whatever. Do not ask this question. Let that parent bring it up, because when they're ready to have a second baby or even to start to have those conversations, you better believe they will be talking about it. You know, we know we're going to have a second kid maybe one day. So we're talking about maybe one day. But back in the colic phase, when people asked me this, I looked at them like they said, oh, hey, do you want to eat a firecracker? That sounds awesome.
Hey, here's an M80. Eat it.
Yeah. So just don't ask that question, in my opinion. How about you, Jay?
I definitely think that this is a a personal thing. Nobody should be asking this. It's assuming the fact that the mother can have another baby. There are so many situations where parents are end up having complications in childbirth, and you know, maybe they had, I'm forgetting the term, they had the high blood pressure and these
or even IVF, or like if they weren't actually,
that's exactly right, you know, things that you just didn't know about. You just don't want to put your finger on a button that could be potentially emotional, because you know, the last thing that the mother wants to say, I can't have another one, but thanks for asking. I was just gonna say,
Jay, right? That's a very salient thought. I mean, like, really, yeah, you could sit there and say, oh yeah, I want to have another kid, but you may not be able to have another kid.
That's,
I mean,
it.
Who knows the
problems? I was adopted, so I can only imagine. A couple of months in, my parent, and it was a result of my parents trying, and they weren't able to have their own conception come through to childbirth. So I can only imagine that if they looked at my parents and said, when are you having another baby? And that's a touchy subject. We'd love to have one. We worked so hard and that didn't really work out. Luckily enough, they miraculously had my younger sister 3.5 years later after they adopted me. And that was great. But I'm sure that's not a reality for many families out there.
I agree.
Yeah, I would never think to ask this question to anybody ever. I think Jay hit the nail on the head with that. It's, you never know if the family can have another child biologically speaking, if they're in a position that they're able to, whether it's because of their house or their money or their family situation, whatever the case is. You should just never make any assumptions about that. And it's just one of those things that I think, Jay, you summed up pretty nicely. I would never ask.
Just focus
it.
On the happiness, the miracle, everything that is this baby, yeah, right here. Right,
I would now. I would imagine that this is a question that, and I'm just assuming that you probably get from like the grandparents, yes, in the families. They're saying, so when's my next grandbaby coming along?
And I was just going to say that it's usually the older members of the family, other family members, but definitely the grandparents. And to be honest, those are often the people who you don't share these most intimate details with, what your conception was like or anything like that. So, you know, if any grandparents are listening to this, please spread the word that it's kind of an inappropriate question. How about you, Blake? What do you think about this?
If it were up to me, still, my kid's 1 year old. 1 year old. And I don't even want to think about having another kid right now. Now, will that change in 6 months from now? Maybe I'll forget all the torment and the freaking torture that I went through with my little pain in the butt with all of this colic and not sleeping and eating and this and that. Maybe I'll get over it. But in the meantime, don't talk to me about this. Don't ask me. I don't want nothing to do with you. If you come to my house and ask me this question, you're getting kicked out immediately. Number 9 is, having a baby worth all you've given up for it? Mary, what do you think?
I definitely have been asked this question, and it's often by young women who may not even be in a serious relationship yet, because they're often thinking like, oh, Mary is at the same age as me. Look how different her life is. I can still go out. I can still go on vacations whenever I want. I can still spend all the money on myself because I get to. So I definitely get asked this a lot. I don't feel like it's an inappropriate question, because my response is always, yes, it is so worth it. It is the best decision that I've ever made in my life. It has made my life worth living. It is the reason that I was put here on this earth. Like, Reese is here and he is going to outlive me, and I'm going to instill within him all of my hopes and dreams and my morals, hopefully. So when I get asked this question, I hope that I'm educating possible future parents themselves about how fantastic it is. So I don't think it's an inappropriate question to ask. I just think that the people that ask it are a little naive. So that'd be kind of my input. How about you guys?
Yeah, I feel like this is the question that I'm with you on this. And when I first read this list, I was saying, God, I would never say that to somebody. But the way that you framed it makes a lot of sense. It could be people that are just about to get to the point where they're seriously thinking about starting to have children. And it's almost like they're doing their homework. They might know the obvious answer is going to be, of course it's worth giving up my social life and vacations and all that for it. But I think maybe it's them needing a little bit of affirmation that this is something that they are going to go through with doing. I have a friend right now who's really getting to that point where she's thinking, all right, it's time. and you can sometimes hear the hesitation in her voice at that, in those moments. And so maybe it's her doing a little bit of her homework and talking to like people who do have children. But I think for maybe someone who's single or a guy actually to say it is probably much more inappropriate than maybe a woman who's thinking about maybe trying to have a child very shortly.
But maybe I would recommend asking things like, so how have you seen X, Y, and Z change within your life? How have you seen your social life change? How has going on vacations been different, or how will that be different when you're finally able to do so? Really getting into that nitty gritty and getting advice, examples, you know, being able to say, oh, I went here and this is who watched him, and ultimately it was somebody down the street, it was my parents, it was a team effort. So those are all things, oh, okay, yeah, that could work within my framework, and this is some good affirmation that if I were to bring a child into this world, that I could potentially follow that similar model.
Now, Blake, you are the first of your group of friends to have a baby, so I assume that you've been asked this question.
Yeah, I have been asked this question, and I sit there and I tell people, if I had heard this question like before my baby, if I heard this, I would totally agree with this question. Dude, is it really worth it to have a kid? Like, isn't the kid a pain in the butt? Like, isn't he just like, doesn't he ruin your social life? Doesn't he sit there and like, you want to go to the pub and you can't because your kid's crying. And you know what? It's actually a very valid question when you don't have a kid, because you don't have any context. You have no perception on what it's like to have a child. You have no idea. But then the kid comes and then you sit there and you say, of course it's worth it.
Yeah, I'm poor. And yeah, I'm tired. And yeah, I eat mac and cheese every day.
And I cannot stress this enough to all of you out there. If you don't have a kid, very valid question. It makes sense. I get it. And if you were to ask me this question when you don't have a kid, I'm not going to be offended. But since you don't, you just have no idea. The way I liken it is like this. If you were to watch standard definition television, that's what you're getting when you're not watching a kid. But when you have a kid, you've been brought into the world of HD. The picture is bigger. The picture is clearer. You sit there and you say, oh, man, I get it now. I get it. I get the purpose. I get the idea behind it. You can laugh all you want there, Mary Larson. Laugh all you want. But it's like this big revelation in your life. And there's no way I can explain to you what it's like having a kid. And until you actually have one, you don't get the idea behind this question. So I respect the fact why you're asking it. But until you actually have one, you have no idea what you're talking about.
You guys are so touching. Well, for the sake of saving time, we're going to cut back a little bit on our wines and our wins of the week, and we're going to jump in quickly to our wines.
Mrs. Lawson, what do you got? What's your wine?
My boobs. So, seeing as how I'm sitting here at a table of three guys, I thought it was appropriate to talk about my tatas. Well, basically,
I love your boobs. I'm not going to lie.
Well, thank you. So, you know, as soon as you get pregnant, your boobs change because they get a lot of hormones and they get big. And you're like, wow, I need a new bra. This is great. And then towards the end of your pregnancy, you're like, wow, I need nursing bras possibly if I'm nursing and to hold these boobs. So you get different bras. And I just feel like I've been going through bras. And now that Reese is eating so much solids and I'm not nursing as frequently, I've got these like weird saggy boobs, and the bras that I had towards the end of my pregnancy and the beginning of motherhood with these voluptuous, like almost a little too sassy.
No, 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 no. There's no such thing as too sassy with boobs.
Well, they are now gone. I'm kind of, I'm getting these like old woman jokes. Like you look at the old woman birthday aisle about the bras, you know.
Joan Rivers.
Yes, where she thought they were, I wouldn't know.
Oh, I stepped on it. I thought it was a mouse.
She uses one as a plug for the bathtub.
Bathtub.
Well, I now see how that has happened a little bit, so I now have to go bra shopping again. But I'm just, that's my wine of the week, is that I've had to buy like a bajillion bras and my breasts do not stop changing. So that's my wine. Let's change the topic. Blake, how about let's jump into your wins? Blake, tell me about your win of the week.
My win of the week is the Red Sox are back on, baby.
Woo-woo!
Oh my God, I'm so happy that the socks are back on. When Reese was born, it was actually opening day at Fenway Park last year.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was so excited. When we came back home, we brought him into the house. I had no idea what to do with him. What do I do? I have no idea. So I sat there and I said to myself, okay, I'm going to the fridge, grabbing a beer, putting on the socks and watching the game.
This is my life
and I'm cool with it. And you know what? I'm so happy I get a chance to do that with him again. I can do that. I can sit him down with me. And he actually like watches the TV and like takes it all in. And like he looks at me and he's smiling and everything. And I get a chance to watch the Red Sox with my son. How awesome is that?
Such a great bonding moment for you two. Such a great learning moment for him. It was not necessarily a sports fan growing up. I was literally in high school Googling the rules of baseball. I wish I had this growing up. Reese has this.
Although I know the ulterior motive is that Blake is just hoping he turns into a left-handed pitcher one day.
Damn you with my secrets. Damn you.
Blake, what is your parent pick of the week?
Zippa pajamas. Get nothing else but Zippa pajamas.
For yourself or the baby?
Both, as a matter of fact. No. For the kid, if you get anything else but Zippa pajamas, you are on crazy land.
Even know there were other options.
I know. Well, you know, you gotta sit there. If you don't get the Zippa pajamas, you get the button ones, and you sit there and like you fiddle them with the buttons, and it takes forever. And
it's
you
not gonna work.
You button them in the wrong thing, especially as your kid's squirming everywhere and he's crying.
It's
and
trying
he's
to nail Jell-O to the wall.
Exactly. You can't do it. Get Zippa pajamas. Eric, what do you got?
Do as much as you can to educate yourself. Read these blogs, listen to these podcasts, watch these videos. The night before Reese was born, Mary and I sat down and watched a video, and I called it the How to Not Kill Your Best Friend's Baby video. And it was everything from how to hold them to how to change a diaper to how to feed them. And I think that if you're a friend and if you're really close to the parents and you are putting forward a really sincere effort to try to learn and try to understand what they may be going through and try to learn how to possibly help them, I think it's going to poise you and put you in a better position to really be involved in that process and be a part of this kid's life. Because if you're as clueless as I was, I mean, I can change a diaper now. I know how to feed him. I know how to put his car seat in. That's pretty much all I know how to do, but I think it's a win on all fronts. So just try to educate yourself and put as much effort into it as possible.
Well, I had no idea of what this particular item was before seeing Friends with Babies, and I call it the bib with the reservoir at the bottom, and it catches all the things that the baby has attempted to eat, and then it collects there. I'm like, it took this long for somebody to come up with this product. How easy, how awesome. It's made of like rubber or plastic, something like that, that you can like hose off when the baby's done and has dropped chocolate syrup or whatever it is sticky all over themselves. That thing seems pretty awesome, and all parents should get that. It's worth your weight. It's worth the investment in how many times you have to charge your vacuum to pick up all those Cheerios that fell onto the floor because they've been collected so nicely at the bottom of what I have been informed is called the Pelican Bib.
Nice job. Well, my parent pick of the week is something simple. I just want you to head online and head to lunchboxdad.com. He was the inspiration for today's blog post, and he does these really beautiful lunchboxes for his kids, and they're all healthy meals, and he tells you how he does it. So there are really some fun posts up there, and he's a dad of three. So check it out, lunchboxdad.com. Thank you so much, Eric and Jay, for coming and eating bison burgers tonight and then coming on our podcast.
It was our pleasure.
It was our pleasure. This was great.
Yay.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun grilling before this episode and having a couple of glasses of wine. It was a good time.
And I'm shocked that little Mr. Reese Larson has not woken up in the next room. Please after not. All of our antics.
I'm convinced he's not there. He has fashioned himself out of his crib and is somewhere out having a great time.
He's like Rapunzel. He's out there. Well, let's just knock on some wood right now to make sure that he is still sleeping. Blake, if people want to contact us about this episode, there are multiple ways that they can. First off, they can head to our website. I know we talked about Lunchbox Dad's website, but you want to check out ours. It's parentcastpodcast.com. But how else can they get in contact with us?
You can get us at Facebook at facebook.com/parentcast.
You can tweet us at parentcast.
And if you're a fan of the old Gmail, you can get us at gmail.com. sorry, no. What can you get us at? You can just at parentcast@gmail.com.
Okay, if you just forgot everything we just said, just Google Parentcast and you'll find us in a million
different
ways.
We'll be there
ways.
Somehow, somewhere.
We will. That was so much fun. What do we have coming up next week?
That was a lot of fun. And next week is episode 11.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, my God. Girl. It's the magical time. Like Harry Potter turned a wizard at 11.
So it's actually about the one person I'm almost in love with as much as you,
who?
Which is our birth doula. So make sure you get us and get us the listener feedback. And if it's good, we'll put you on the air. And if it sucks, well, then you're left out as always. Bye.
Goodbye, everyone. We'll see you next week. Parentcast is a Tall Mom Media production. Please do not take anything that we say as true facts. We are not specialists or really anything. We're just parents who are trying to figure this thing out. So research things on your own.
Don't sue us.
Please.
Rapport.